Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed be the Lord. Today is October 7th. Welcome to Deeper Truth and our novena to Our Lady of the Rosary. And also included is St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Jude. O Mary, Queen of the Holy Rosary, I thank you for your maternal protection and for the many blessings I have received through your powerful intercession. Blessed Mother, you asked at Fatima for the daily recitation of the Rosary for peace in the world and in individual souls. I offer my Rosary as a spiritual bouquet of roses for the intentions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In atonement for the offenses committed against your Immaculate Heart, and in petition for the favors I ask in this novena, and with great confidence in your powerful intercession, I place these petitions in your hands and beseech you to present them to Jesus. He will never refuse what you ask of him. And I pray for souls who are contemplating abortion. We pray for the lives of the unborn child, unborn children. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child, whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. And we're praying for America. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. And I do. I pray for my healing and for my wife Gigi's healing. We pray for all those. We pray for our finances. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of the faithful and enkindle in them the fire of divine love. Dear Saint Therese of Lisieux, you said that you would spend your time in heaven doing good on earth. Your trust in God was complete. Pray that he may increase my trust in his goodness and mercy as I ask for the following petitions again for America. We pray for me that I, like you, may have great and innocent confidence in the loving promises of our God. Pray that I may be, that I may live my life in union with God's plan for me, and one day see the face of God whom you loved so deeply. Saint Therese, you were faithful to God even unto the moment of your death. Pray for me that I may be faithful to our loving God. May my life bring peace and love to the world through faithful endurance in love for God, our Savior. Lord Jesus, Lord God, you bless St. Therese with the capacity for a great love. Help me to believe in your unconditional love for each of your children, especially for me. You guide on hallow. Holy be your name. Will lead you through each day. Rest. And we need to. Sometimes we do need to rest. To listen to your Lord. To listen to your word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And glorious Apostle St. Jude Thaddeus, I salute you through the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Through his heart, I praise and thank God for all the graces he has bestowed upon you. I implore you, through his love, to look upon me with compassion, not to despise my poor prayer. Do not let my trust be confounded. God has granted to you the privilege of aiding mankind in the most desperate cases. Oh, come to my aid, that I may praise the mercies of God all my life. I will be your grateful client until I can thank you in heaven. Amen. and to oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you, and I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because you're all good and deserving of all my love. And I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. And sweet Mother Mary, I offer you this spiritual communion to bind my bouquet in a wreath to place upon your brow. Oh, my Mother, look with favor upon my gift, and in your love obtain for me this special request, which I've been asking for America. Our Lady of America, you ask that the United States of America be the country dedicated to your purity, and that your children in America be the children of your pure heart, your Immaculate Heart. Please intercede for us that we may be granted with good and morally leaders who will act according to the revealed will of God and the foundational principles of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. And we pray when America is strong, the world is safer. Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, intercede for us, your children in America, as we pray for our nation, our military, and our families. And Lord, strip that woke stuff out of our society. Bring common sense back into. We pray for our government leaders that they will make just decisions and govern us in accordance with truth and the principles upon which our nation was founded. Protection for those serving in the military and for our first responders. Bless them and their families as they sacrifice themselves to keep us safe. We pray for our families in a culture that seeks to destroy the morals and values upon which this country was founded. May our families be united in faith and charity. And we ask this petition for the strength and unity of our church, the Catholic Church, and for the protection of the family and our nation. Reclaim this great country for your Son's glory, that under his protection and guidance, we may stand together as a people of faith and trust in him for the changes we seek. O Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We ask forgiveness for our offenses against you. We seek your loving care for all our needs and requests. You have blessed our nation and given us countless gifts, our freedom and the ability to seek your will every day are among our dearest possessions. But in turning away from you, we not only risk the loss of all our country, what it has stood for, but we also offend you, who are all good and deserving of all our love. We offer to you this novena that we are making as Americans. We ask that you hear us and through your fathomless mercy, convert the hearts of our people and bring them back to you. May your land once more, may our land once more ring out with praise of you and the most loving Virgin Mary, to whom we have entrusted the petitions in this novena. Most holy God, we thank you for hearing us. May our hearts praise you forevermore. Amen. Dear Jesus, allow the truth of holy love to flood the hearts of this nation. Place truth in the center of every heart. Return this nation to its rightful place under the dominion of God. Amen. Dear Jesus, inspire the hearts of legislators to bring fairness into every law. In so doing, inspire lawmakers to remove contradiction from laws concerning life in the womb, so that no one is forced to support contraception or abortion against his free will. Do not allow religious freedom to be trampled under the feet of those who favor death in the womb. Amen. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. And may God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do that, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. St. Augustine said, "We judge all things according to the divine truth." St. Thomas Aquinas said, "A scrap of knowledge about sublime things is worth more than any amount about trivialities." And Father John Hardin, this is something that he said. It's located in the Modern Catholic Dictionary now. One of the seven infused gifts, the gift of knowledge, by the illuminating action of the Holy Spirit, it perfects the virtue of faith. It gives a person the ability to judge everything from a supernatural viewpoint. The object of this gift is the whole spectrum of created things insofar as they lead one to God through infused knowledge. The faithful can see the providential purpose of whatever enters their lives, and they are able to put creatures to the right use according to God's will for themselves and for others, sometimes called the science of the saints. It enables those who have the gift to discern easily and effectively between the impulses of temptation and the inspirations of grace. And that's what we're, and to live by God's grace. And so, in the 15 promises, that for praying the rosary, well, the second promise, and that is so important for us to understand and see what these promises actually are. So, and the second promise of the rosary I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the Rosary. From the time of the Apostolic Age, the Church has always held high Mother Mary's special protection against evil. St. Justin Martyr and St. Irenaeus recognize Mother Mary as the new Eve, that she is the advocate to those abandoned. The Rosary is such an important part of that protection. The Lord places the importance of intercessory prayer, and that is particularly true in regards to His Mother, and that His followers are to love one another as Christ loves us. From the cross, Jesus gave Mary, Mother Mary, to St. John, and through him, the whole Church. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 states, "Then the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus." The Virgin Mary is the mother of the Church, the Queen of Heaven. Going back to the early queens of Israel, beginning with Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, was placed in the court of the king for the purpose of intercession for the people of Israel. The concept of Mary as mediatrix is solely because she is the mother of Jesus, and through Jesus, the mediator between God and man. She intercedes for her children, the Church. No one is as close to Jesus as his Holy Mother, who promised to offer special protection to those dedicated to the Rosary as merit. Mary's protection is symbolically seen as a veil, as a protective garment covering the faithful, protecting them from the evil in the world. Many times that the Virgin Mary has appeared around the world, she is surrounded by the light of God's glory. The images of the apostles, saints, virgin, and martyrs are pictured under her veil of protection. You should see yourself in this picture, especially if you're dedicated to the Rosary and the sacraments. Throughout the history of the Church, Mary's intercession is seen to have diverted or ended plagues, wars, battles, like the Battle of Lepanto, which we will talk about, and times of distress. Mother Mary has appeared over 2,500 times for the cause of Christ. St. John Bosco was given a dream that faced the Church battling evil in the latter days. The Pope anchors the ship, the Catholic Church, to two pillars. One pillar held a statue of Mary, help of Christians, and the other pillar was a large Eucharistic host, salvation for believers. Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling for devotion to the Eucharist and His Holy Mother. The second part of the second promise is her promise of the greatest graces. I found seven promises that Mother Mary gave to St. Bridget for those honoring her by the daily meditation on her tears and sorrows. I place those promises here as those of special significance for me, and these are great graces. One, I will grant peace in their families. Two, they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. Three, I will console them in their pains, and I will accompany them in their work. Four, I will give them as much as they ask for as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Five, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. Six, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death, that they will see the face of their mother. Seven, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my son will be their eternal consolation and joy. In the seven sorrows, the prophecy of Simeon, number one. Number two, the escape from and flight into Egypt. Number three, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple of Jerusalem. Number four, the meeting of Jesus and Mary, the meeting of Mary and Jesus on the Via Dolorosa. Number five, the crucifixion of Jesus on Mount Calvary. Number six, the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross. Number seven, the burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea. The above graces for the tears and sorrow of Mary, I added to show what Mother Mary wants to offer to those devoted to the Rosary. There could be so much more that the Lord will grant Mary's intercession to accomplish on the personal level. That can be untold grace. The first promise, Mother Mary offers signal graces. In the second promise, she is offering the greatest graces. That becomes significantly more. All of us who have been practicing the faith can speak to some of these graces in our own life. Many of us have had much sorrow in our lives and have depended on God's help and protection. Again, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protections, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And so now, today is October the 7th. And that is an important day. October the 7th, in 1571, Christianity was saved at the Battle of Lepanto. Throughout history, Catholic Christians have sought the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mother in every kind of situation. We acknowledge her in times of joy and happiness, and ask her help in times of adversity. How many of us have turned to her and prayed the Hail Mary when confronted with difficulties, catastrophes, disasters? How many combat soldiers have implored her help? When we can't think of another prayer, we say a Hail Mary. How many of our penances after confession included a Hail Mary? I can say quite a few, and yeah, me too, definitely. I was one of them. I witnessed many conversions. Pope Leo XIII said of her, and since Mary's greatest joy is to grant her help and assessment to those who call upon her, there is no reason to doubt not only that she wishes to answer the prayers of the Universal Church, but also that she is eager to do so. In the 16th century, a strong, aggressive Muslim force was poised to conquer the European continent. Their goal was to wipe out Christianity, to place a crescent on top of St. Peter's and a turban on the Pope's head. In response, Christians banded together, turned to Mary, invoked the Rosary, and were saved when God gave them a victory at one of the most famous naval battles in history. The battle took place just off of the coast of Greece at a place known as Lepanto. The year was 1571. In America, we need our Lepento, as when America is strong, the world is safer. The opposing forces were a strong, well-trained, and seasoned Ottoman Turk navy, led by Ali Pasha, and a loosely connected Christian fleet called the Holy League, led by a Spaniard named Don Juan of Austria, and Admiral Marcantonio Colonna. The bloody battle that ensued would impact the course of history. In 1453, the Turks captured Constantinople, the center of Christianity in the Eastern world. Less than a decade earlier, at the Ecumenical Council of Florence in 1445, representatives of the Eastern Church had accepted the primacy of the Pope and language of the Western Church regarding the Holy Spirit, the Filioque, in the Nicene Creed. These issues had long separated the two churches, the two branches. The concessions by the East were largely made to obtain military help from the West against the growing menace of the Ottoman Empire. This was a major breakthrough in the division between Catholics of East and West, but was short-lived. Not everyone in the Eastern Church accepted the actions of their representatives at Florence, and as no agreement was ever consummated, the issues were not resolved. Moreover, no Western armies moved to protect Eastern Christians. It was only a matter of time until Constantinople fell. After Constantinople, the Turks turned towards the Western Mediterranean and Europe, conquering areas in the Balkans, Greece, Ukraine, North Africa, and the Middle East in the mid to late 16th century, threatening all Christianity. They gave no quarter to any people or country, reveled in the spoils of war, and committed widespread atrocities, especially against Christians. The Turkish military was well-led, well-organized. Their navy was growing into one of the most feared among all nations. In the Church of Rome, an unlikely leader surfaced in the person of Michael Cardinal, who in 1566 became Pope Pius V. He didn't want the job as the Holy Father, and upon installation reportedly said, I quote, "With God's help, I will try to govern so that the public's grief at my death will be even greater than their grief at my election," unquote. He would become one of the most effective popes of the Middle Ages, and in 1712 was canonized by Pope Clement XI. The combined Christian naval forces, the Holy League of Spain, Venice, and the Papacy, defeated the Turkish fleet at Lepanto on October 7, 1571. And Gorgio Besseri was commissioned to commemorate the event in the Sala Riga at the Vatican. The foreground, includes the allegorical representations of the three Christian powers. As the reign of Pope Pius began, the Christian world was in chaos. In Germany, the Protestant Reformation was on fire. In France, the Huguenots were fighting Christians, and England was rejecting Catholicism. The Council of Trent, 1545-63, was recently completed, and the Pope was confronted to act on and implement the many decisions of that ecumenical council, included a revised Roman Missal, a breviary, and a catechism. While Pius took on all these challenges, he had the God-given wisdom to recognize the Ottoman Turks as the biggest concern at the time. The most recent victory of the Turks had taken place in Cyprus in early 1571. For months, the populace, which was under Venetian rule, had held out against a siege by the Turks. Finally, when food supplies were exhausted, the city negotiated a ceasefire with the Turks, who agreed to the safety of the citizens. However, when the Christian leaders were brought before the Turkish military, some were beheaded, some tortured. Atrocities were committed against the populace, and many became slaves. Hearing of another Ottoman victory and the cruelty imposed on the people, Pope Pius recognized that Europe was in line of sight of the Turks. He began in earnest to organize a Holy League, a crusade of European nations against the Muslim force. Unfortunately, many countries wanted to remain neutral. Only Spain, the Papal States, and Venus offered serious resources. While under states provided limited support, all combined, the Holy League consisted of 208 ships and 68,000 soldiers, sailors, and oarsmen. The Muslim force had 282 ships and 87,000 men, including oarsmen. The majority of their oarsmen were Christian slaves. In 1569, Pius V had issued a papal bull which set the universal standard for praying the rosary. As the sea battle between the Christians and Turks loomed, Pope Pius asked Christians throughout Europe to pray the rosary, seeking the intercession of the Blessed Mother with her son for a Christian victory. The Pope also ordered churches to conduct continuous periods of Eucharistic adoration. He prompted the rosary confraternities in Rome to hold processions during which the rosary was prayed. The faithful of Europe were all fervently praying at the same time for the same purpose, to save Christianity. Every Christian soldier and sailor aboard the Christian vessels prayed the rosary on the eve of the battle and had received the Eucharist before sailing the battle. Wow. On October 7th battle lasted some 5 hours, with the ships fighting in close proximity. The Turks had the edge in numbers, but the tactics, total guns, leadership, and divine providence won the day for the Christians. When the battle was over, the Turks had lost 20,000 men and 200 ships. The Christian losses were less than 8,000 men and only a few vessels. By the grace of God, Christianity was saved. Stories are told that Pope Pius was conducting business in the Vatican while the battle raged, and at one point dispensed with what he was doing and announced that the Holy League had won a great victory. Official announcement of the battle results did not arrive in Rome until many days later. People were jubilant. Church bells rang, and joyful praise was given to the Blessed Mother for her intercession with our Lord Jesus. Soon the Pope added a feast day, Our Lady of Victory, as an obligatory memorial to the church calendar, celebrated every October 7th. The victory of Lepanto and the intercession of the Blessed Mother garnered from the faithful praying the rosary, but thus be perpetuated in Catholic memory. And the name of the feast day feast changed over the centuries and became known by the current title, Our Lady of the Rosary. And And this, I can't help but going through this story of the Battle of Lepanto and what Pope Pius had called for all of Europe, the faithful in Europe, to pray the rosary. We need such another with the looming attack on Christianity today. And today we're seeing the onslaught of ancient paganism coming back in the forms of this trans and pro-homosexual and all these different, all this rebellion we're seeing. We need to get and promote and get to back to the rosary. That's what can put things back in. We need that. We need this for this battle that lies ahead today and what's happening in the world today, October 7th, 2022. So this is so important. So important for us because God is real. Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever the same. In his holy Catholic Church, Jesus promised three things: that the gates of hell shall not prevail, that he would remain with it always, and he gave it the Holy Spirit. So we need to pray for Pope Francis. We need to pray for all the shepherds of the church, for all the priests. And if you really think about it, the clergy is the arch enemy of Satan. Satan he's going after them with everything he's got. He knows his time is short. And it affects all of us. We're all in this battle. We are all. So we need to pray. And the rosary is our peace plan that Mary gave us at Fatima. And America needs Fatima. America needs Fatima. Again, when America is strong, the world is safer. So we ask the Lord, we ask for his protection, and that America will return back to our Lord, that our Lord will return, that we will return back to the Lord. As the angel of Portugal taught the children of Fatima, my God, I believe, I adore, and I hope and I love you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, nor do not love you. And then the golden arrow to offset blasphemy. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, the most holy sacrament of the altar, and the prayer to that are, you know, that for the poor souls of purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, and those of in my home, within my family, and bring all the prodigals, and I dedicate, and we pray for the prodigals to bring them home, our loved ones, and with this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace be with you all. God bless you all. Amen. So,
come to my mercy, where the blood and water flow. I won't abandon you. Through suffering you'll grow, and you'll see my grace come pouring down. Come to my mercy. Come to my mercy, where the river of life flows. From this fountain comes grace for every soul, and you'll see my love come shining through. Come to my mercy. Come to my mercy, where the rays of love shine through. All the darkness, I will always be with you. I am waiting here with open arms. Come to my mercy. I am waiting here with open arms. Come to my mercy.